It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day in your day. The Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso. God is good, and we're glad to be with you this morning. It is the fifth of the month, still early in the month, and we wish you God's religious blessings, as we said before. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy. We pray that you bless us today as we study the Word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we are going to now go into our opening song or have our opening song. It's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
brothers and sisters, we're going to learn today how the image of the beast works. How the image of the beast works. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you very much for this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit guiding, leading, We humble ourselves before you and ask that you will please speak. And in everything that we say and do and think, may you be honored. We ask, Lord, for you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, how does the image of the beast work? Well, we're going to the book of Revelation, and because of time, we're going to have to just tell you some things that we can clearly prove from the Bible. But we're just wanting to get to how the image of the beast works. So I will tell you that Revelation 13, 1 through 10, is talking about the Roman Catholic Church. And I will also tell you that every Protestant church that was then major denominations that were years ago established, you know, your main Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Lutheran, you follow what I'm saying? All of them used to believe that. And so you'll read about it, its persecuting period of 1,260 years in those verses. It will list it as 42 months. We know that in the Bible, one day is a year. When you calculate Bible prophecy, that's given in Numbers 14:34 and Numbers 14:34 and can't remember the other verse. Ezekiel 4:6, actually 4:1-6 when you really understand it. And so 42 months, if a day is a year, that's 1,260 days, but you would convert that to a year, okay? Because that's how it works. And the Bible gives us that prophecy seven times. Sometimes it's called 42 months. Sometimes it's called a time, which is 360 days, times, which would be 720 days, and dividing of time or half a time in one another verse, that's 1,260 days, which is 1,260 years. Sometimes it's called 1,203 score days, okay? So those are the phrases used in seven different verses. Seven is a perfect number. God is perfectly wanting us to understand who the beast is and what, how to identify it. In 538 AD, the Emperor Justinian gave the scepter over to the Pope Julius, or at least that's when it came into effect. And that rulership over the world, over the kings and other entities lasted, and it did not end until Napoleon's general Berthier took the Pope captive in 1798. So 538 to 1798 is 1,260 years. The Bible uses it, 1,260 days, but each day is a year, according to Ezekiel 4:6 and Numbers 14:34. So that's who the beast of Revelation 13, 1 through 10, and there are many, many other proof texts are when you understand. He had on his forehead the name of blasphemy. In John chapter 10, blasphemy was when a man called himself God. In Mark 2, blasphemy was when a man claimed to have power on earth to forgive your sins. The Roman Catholic Church had people go into confessional boxes to confess their sins to the priests, and the Pope basically delegated that power of forgiveness of all sins to his lower subordinates, so that they could have intelligence. Actually, it was better than the mafia. It was better than Big Brother. They knew more than the government because everybody had to confess their sins. They basically ruled the world in their religion at that time. So that's who the first beast was. Okay, I just given you some snippet. By the way, the Pope to the Catholic people, Roman Catholic people, is God on earth. And one more point is that it says that the dragon gave him his power, seat, and great authority. And in the previous chapter, in chapter 12, the dragon is who tried to kill Jesus when he was born. That would be pagan Rome, because Herod was a Roman official. But it also clearly says the dragon is Satan. So it is a dual meaning, Satan and pagan Rome, is who got the papacy started, the Roman Catholic Church started. Okay, why? Because the Roman Catholic Church claims that it is above the Word of God, that its traditions are above the Word of God. Satan wanted to put his throne above the sides of the north, according to Isaiah 14. So in the north, when you were in the church, in the sanctuary, the north side was the side where the table of showbread was, which was the Word of God. Satan knew that in order for him to triumph, he had to suppress the Word of God. That's what Rome does, Roman Catholicism. They suppress the Word of God. All right, that being said, we're now talking about the image. I just needed to address that. In verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. By the way, a beast is a nation, according to Daniel chapter 7, verses 19 through 24. So a beast that came out of the sea, which was the first beast, Revelation 17, 15, says the waters, remember he came out of the sea, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. See, it all weaves together. A whore is a ungodly woman. The Bible says he's likened the church in Jeremiah 6, 2 to a beautiful and comely and delicate woman. And so that way he called it the daughter of Zion. But Isaiah 51, 16 tells us that Zion is his people. That's the church. In the New Testament, Paul let us know that we are a spouse or in an engagement relationship to Jesus Christ, okay, as a chaste virgin. So that means the church is female as a symbol, okay? So I beheld another beast, another nation, coming out of the earth. That's opposite of the sea where there was lots of civilization. So this second beast, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, is the United States of America. It comes out of the earth. It was a discovered land. It didn't come out of a highly populated area. It had two horns like a lamb. That was its foundation principles that were embedded in its constitution, which were complete civil freedom and complete religious freedom. That's horns like a lamb. Horns are hidden power, according to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4. The hidden power of America that God blessed because it gave freedoms, even though it was hypocritical. In its highest document, freedoms were promised to all the people. They just wanted to make certain people with darker skin only three-quarters of a person. That's how they justified it in their mind for financial gain. And God dealt with that and is still dealing with that. Two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So when you see the United States of America taking freedoms away from people, then that nation is speaking as a dragon, okay? Now you say, well, how is it taking? Well, we're going to show you how the image works. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. That means it would be a tyrannical, persecuting power, okay? And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So the United States would do something to bring worship to the first beast. Whose deadly wound was healed, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven out of the earth in the sight of men. America is run by pretty much the dominant religion, even though different ones are coming up, is Protestantism, okay? So you're going to see Protestants forget their Bibles and just go with popular opinions and do blatant things that are just the obvious. That's what, you know, that's why, brothers and sisters, we take a little time to talk about politics. In politics, even, you see Protestants doing the obvious, ignoring the obvious. Protestants voting democratically support abortion. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee, before you even formed as a fetus, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, I sanctified thee. I set you apart for holy use. And I ordained you a prophet, he told Jeremiah. So God knows, God sets us aside for holy use. He has our purpose, our work. He has our gender because he was a prophet, not a prophetess. So he has some being prophetesses. They're female that come out of the womb. Okay? So this is what we understand. And therefore, to kill an unborn baby would be murder in the eyes of God. But when you vote democratically, you're supporting that because they're doing it to get the votes, friend. Don't think for 1 minute that all Democrats support in their heart abortion, but they vote Democratically because they don't like what the Republicans are doing. So we have forgotten. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We weren't supposed to be in all that fighting. We were supposed to help solve the problems that they fight about, okay? And we do. For example, they fight about health care. Well, we have the Live Free lifestyle, and it is the solution to the health problems in America, okay, and the world, by the way. And so we're supposed to be spending our time not arguing with the Democrats or Republicans, but giving that message, along with the truths like the Sabbath and other wonderful truths that God has given to us that will be practiced in the heaven and are practiced in heaven. And so that's an important point that we need to address with you this morning, that God wanted us to understand what our role is. Now, ignoring the obvious on the other side, it's ignoring the obvious to ignore the fact that a former president incited a riot, okay? That's ignoring the facts. And both of these, whether you're on the Democratic side, and on the Democratic side, we could have also added homosexuality. You have Republicans that are homosexual. It's just that the Democratic Party is the one that's pushing it, okay, supporting it. Why are they doing it? Votes. Why do the Republicans not want to say that a certain man incited a riot? Votes, okay? It's all about votes. It's not about truth, and that's why we can't get involved, because if it's about truth, we would say, yes, he did. Yes, it's wrong to kill a baby. Yes, God did not ordain, nor does the Constitution of the United States protect men, okay, who you choose to sleep with. It just doesn't protect that when it's outside of normalcy, okay, and marriage of a man and a woman. So that's why, brothers and sisters, we love all people, Democrats, Republicans, homosexuals, drug addicts. All people are people who Jesus died for, okay? And so we are to love them. We are not to have any violence toward them. We are not to, you know, but we have to tell the truth. So that's where we are. All right, getting back to this. The Bible says that the United States would do something to cause the world to worship the first beast. Well, the first beast has a mark. They tell you that their mark of authority, and I have all the statements. It's the largest, one of the largest collections of statements I have on the Roman Catholic Church and their statement regarding Sunday worship, that is their mark of authority. So the mark of the beast is the enforcement of Sunday. It's not enforced. Now, there are Sunday laws. That is a precursor. But I'm talking about a federal law, starting to be federal, which means it would cover all the states, federal law, that requires everyone to worship on Sunday. Now, a lot of people wouldn't have a problem with that, but that's not the biblical day of worship. It goes against the Bible to do so, okay? So, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. This is showing how we can be so dumbed down with celebration worship, okay? Notice that the praise teams and all the loud music and the preachers, nobody's preaching about the things I'm talking about, very few, I should say, but they're just making people feel good. That's what God is telling. It's an emotional religion. Religion has become emotional rather than principally based, okay? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, that emotionalism, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the womb by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So remember, our topic was how the image of the beast works. So the image of the beast has mandates, decrees, things that have the force of law, like lockdowns, mandates, okay? That's how it works. And I'm going to show it to you. And if you don't, it has the force of law because there's a penalty. You won't be able to fly. You won't be able to go to the store. You won't be able to buy things. You won't be able to have hospital care. You won't be able to keep your job. Okay? It has penalties when you don't comply with the mandate. Okay? It says here, as many would be killed. Okay? So eventually it's going to get to that point. But my point is, we're just learning how the image works. And if you don't understand that, so that's why we believe that the Bible teaches that the United States is going to lead out in the final movement to bring about a Sunday law, and then it's going to go worldwide after that. That's what the Bible teaches. But how does the image work? He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or other forehead. So again, the United, that's what it's going to be. The law is going to be to worship on Sunday, because that's the mark of the beast, the enforcement of Sunday, because the Catholic Church says Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. This is a direct quote. Church is above the Bible, and the transference it talks about from Saturday to Sunday is proof of that fact, okay? That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, we're not going to talk about that. We've got to get over to how it works. If you really want to know how it works, you actually go to Daniel. Okay, so we're going now to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, this is what it says. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image. You see, the Bible wants us to connect these words. He made what? An image. So notice that he created a crisis. Why was it a crisis? Because if you didn't bow down, you got to go into a fiery furnace. That's a worldwide crisis. Why worldwide? Because Babylon ruled the world at this time. So think about a worldwide crisis with mandates, with rules, with things that have the force of law and consequences that cause you to lose your house, lose your job. Churches won't even come to your defense. Think about that, okay? Now, we're not even going to talk about whether what we were told was true, okay? That's not the point. We're just going to talk about how it works. Whose height was 70 cubits, the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura. Now, this is a hint. The number 666 has 3 sixes. This has 2 sixes. It's letting you know that there is something to this that connects to Revelation. The breadth thereof 6 cubits, the height 70. That's 60. So 66, 66. It didn't have 666. But it's got 66. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather the princes. So the image of the beast works this way. Elected officials must be forced to comply. I'm talking about leaders like governors and commissioners, okay? That would be the gather the princes, the governors, that's your mayors and governors, had to be forced to comply. And the captain, the military, must be forced to comply. The judges, the courts, must be coerced to comply. The treasurers, the IRS, and other things and entities that help you deal with being able to live and have commerce, okay? You're allowed in the store to conduct business if you've done ABC, but if you've not done ABC, see, that's allowing you to spend money or refusing to allow you to spend money. The treasurers had to comply. The counselors, that's the social services of the nation. You can get help. As long as you go along with the image, okay? I'm showing you how it works. The sheriff, law enforcement, would be forced to comply with the mandate. And all the rulers of the provinces, that means all elected officials, would be forced to comply with the mandate. to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So he created a crisis that would have landed you in a fiery furnace if you didn't comply. So that was a manufactured crisis, brothers and sisters, by a king. That means the leader of a nation or the leadership of a nation, but he ruled the world at the time, so it went worldwide, okay, that pretty much had every facet that deals with our functionality on board. Police, fire departments, hospitals, government offices, social services, travel, courts, the leadership in all areas. If you want to know how the image will be, you've already gotten a taste of how the image works. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are so kind in giving us glimpses of what will happen in the future. And most people didn't pass. Most leaders didn't pass. Most police officers didn't pass. Most hospital officials or doctors, nurses didn't pass. Most governors didn't pass. If not, I don't know if any. Most legislators didn't pass. Father, you've shown us that a crisis will be initiated that will cause all of the people to be forced to do something that violates principles. But how the image works is that every leadership, the leadership in our daily functioning lives of the infrastructure of our society, will be under mandate to enforce it. And that's how the image works. So we have to put our trust in you, or every earthly support will be cut off when the Sunday law comes. But now we know how the image works. They have to get control over every aspect of government. And we've seen that. We've seen that. So help us to wake up in Jesus' name and put our trust in you. Amen. At this time, we'll take a break. We'll be back to hear Sister Donna on the subject of mind cure.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? This may shock you to know. God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free and Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and must come and see.
Amen. We will now hear Sister Donna share with us on Mind Cure. Okay, hold on. Looks like I need to do something again. I tried to do it. It didn't work. Okay, I got you back, Sister Donna. All right.
All right. Good morning, Pastor and Maria, and good morning, everyone on the line.
Morning.
The reading today is titled Mind Cure. The relation that exists between the mind and the body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The condition of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are the result of mental depression. Grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust all tend to break down the life forces and to invite decay and death. Disease is sometimes produced and is often greatly aggravated by the imagination. Let me repeat that. Disease is sometimes produced and often greatly aggravated by the imagination. Many are lifelong invalids who might be well if they only thought so. Many imagine that every slight exposure will cause illness and the evil effect is produced simply because it is expected. Many die from disease, the cause of which is wholly imaginary. Courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love promote health and prolong life. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit is health to the body and strength to the soul. A merry, rejoicing heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17:22. In the treatment of the sick, the effect of mental influence should not be overlooked. Rightly used, this influence affords one the most effective agencies for combating disease. There is, however, a form of mind cure that is one of the most effective agencies for evil. Through this so-called science, one mind is brought under the control of another, so that the individuality of the weaker is merged in that of the stronger mind. One person acts out the will of another. Thus, it is claimed that the tenor of the thoughts may be changed and that health-giving impulses may be imparted and patients may be enabled to resist and overcome disease. This method of cure has been employed by persons who were ignorant of its real nature and tendencies, and who believe it to be a means of benefit to the sick. But the so-called science is based upon false principles. It is foreign to the nature and spirit of Christ. It does not lead to him who is life and salvation. The one who attracts minds to himself leads them to separate from the true source of their strength. It is not God's purpose that any human being should yield his mind and will to the control of another, becoming a passive instrument in his hand. No one is to merge his individuality in that of another. He is not to look to any human being as the source of healing. His dependence must be in God. In the dignity of his God-given manhood, he is to be controlled by God himself, not by another human intelligence. God desires to bring men into direct relation with himself, In all his dealings with human beings, he recognizes the principle of personal responsibility. He seeks to encourage a sense of personal dependence and to impress the need of personal guidance. He desires to bring the human into association with the divine, that men may be transformed into the divine likeness. Satan works to thwart this purpose. He seeks to encourage dependence upon men. And when minds are turned away from God, the tempter can bring them under his rule, and he can control humanity. This reading comes from the Ministry of Healing, pages 241 and 242. So remember, saints, some of it is all in the mind. But that's why we are to surrender our minds and hearts to God. Thank you, and have an awesome day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, it's roll call time and sharing as we begin sharing and caring. We start with Sister Vicky in Georgia. She says good morning to everyone. We have Brother Brian in Kenya, in Africa. Good morning to all. Sister Glorious, good morning to everyone from Virginia. Brother Peyton from North Carolina. Sorry about that, Brother Peyton. It's a little early in the morning, right? North Carolina. And we got Sister Angela on the line, Brother Carl, and that's South Carolina. Not sure Brother Carl is. And then we have Sister Tuesday out of Virginia saying good morning to everybody. On the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again and Ohio again. We have Alabama, Maryland, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Michigan. We have Iowa, and we have Georgia. Phone lines are open. What would you like to share today? Well, my wife drew my attention to the fact as we went for a walk yesterday during the time when our phones were off in the afternoon, that the leaves are falling off the trees at record rates, and it's much earlier in the year for that than normal. We don't know if that forecast a early winter, but she alerted me to the fact that that's quite early. So, yes, it was like a major fall of the leaves in the fall as we were walking on a trail. So, friends, this earth is in an upheaval in various ways. We've got two callers. We're going to go first to, I believe, Sister Donna. You're already on, Sister Donna. Go ahead.
You know, Pastor, I just wanted to further support the reading, just to drive it home a little bit with a scripture that comes out of Philippians and begins with verse 6, and it reads, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then it says to think on the things whatsoever are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, and I'm paraphrasing here in view of the time, whatsoever things are lovely, are good, of a good report, and if there be any virtue or any good, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I just wanted to share that because that just drives home the reading about mind share. If we focus on the positive and not so much on the negative, not focus on the size of our problems, but the size of our God, and live through his power, not our own, we shall be more healthy. That's all. I wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. All righty. We've got Mother Winston on the call. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to say thank you and Sister Marie for getting me through, because I know that Satan did not want me to hear the message today, so I missed the first part, but the last part was very encouraging to me. And also the message from the health message was for me, and Satan was trying to block me from hearing it, but he was defeated, and I praise the Lord. I just want to ask everybody to keep my family lifted up in prayer, because Satan is on the attack with my family. And there's so much going on with my sisters and everything. But, you know, God is good, because he has blessed me over and over and over again. And Satan, he's always on the attack, trying to get me to go his way. But I know that I have to trust in God, and I have to obey God if I wish to receive eternal life. And I pray every day that the Lord will give me a pure heart, because he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I thank him for letting me live to be 90 years old and still able to go and do things for myself. And truly that is a blessing. So, you know, Satan, he's a liar, and he's the father of liars. But my God is so good to me, and he blesses me over and over again. And Satan did not want me to hear that message today, but thank the Lord, he got me through. God is so good. So I hope everyone have a blessed day. And Sister Marie, thank you for getting me through. And please lift me up in prayer, me and the family. And everyone have a blessed day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, is there anyone else that would like to share anything? Just press star 6. We'd love to hear from you if there is anyone else. We're keeping in prayer our ministry friends that are jailed in the state of New York. Not going to mention their names, but the bottom line is we're going to pray that God release them, for they are innocent. So let's keep that in prayer, brothers and sisters. We've got Sister Desiree on the call. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning. I just wanted to say everyone good morning. And just to remember all those, it's funny you said that are incarcerated. I have a brother that's incarcerated who deals with schizophrenia, and there are many who are incarcerated really because they have mental health like schizophrenia and everything like that. So I'm just asking for prayer for those who are incarcerated with mental illness as well.
Amen. 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 Thank you, sis.
Uh-huh.
Is there anyone else? All right. Well, we have about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. We'll go ahead and close out at this time with my wife, Undreamed Of.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you on this morning that you have created, and allow us to be able to once again spend this time with you and in your word. And Lord, we thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And we thank you for those who have decided to come and spend their time with us this morning, giving you praise, glory, and honor, and accepting your word for truth. Lord, we want to lift up to you our dear sister, Winston. We thank you, Lord, for the 90 years of life that you have given to your daughter. She has been such a blessing to each of us. And Lord, we appreciate her zeal and her will to honor you, to serve you. And she's asking, Lord, that you would be with her family who is under attack by the devil. Lord, we're all under attack. And we do want to honor her petition, Lord, that you would please protect her family and help them through these attacks. Help them to be victorious, remembering you, that you are the King and Lord who can save, who can deliver, who can protect, and who can help. And we just thank you, Lord, for her being able to come. And despite the enemy's attempts to try to keep her off this line this morning, we thank you that she was able to be victorious and could come and share with us her petition and her praise report, Lord, because you have blessed her over and over and over, as she always has acknowledged. And Lord, we want to pray for Sister Desiree's request, praying for her brother and others who, with mental problems, have been incarcerated and are incarcerated. Lord, whether it's been for reasons that are justified or reasons that are unjust, we just know that there are many, many who don't belong in those types of situations. And we just pray that you will allow for your angels of health, your angels of therapy to go, Lord, and to be with each one, help them to be healed of these conditions. And we pray that they will be free of this life and they will be able to serve you. We want to pray for every silent petition that has gone forth individually. And we ask that you will honor those petitions. We want to keep in prayer other petitions that have been asked. We want to pray for John with his hospice care, Joseph with his military duty over in Saudi Arabia. Pray for his fiance as she awaits for his return and his safety. Want to pray for Sister Lori's request, asking for her two elderly neighbors with their health issues, and also praying for her life as you work with her as she moves into different directions of work. We want to pray for Marlo, her to be able to have a new lifestyle change as Sister Lenny works with her niece on these issues. I want to pray for Brother Peyton's sister, the one who is suffering with this lung disease. We just pray, Lord, for comfort and for restoration, whatever you would have for her. We just pray that her heart would be made right with you, and that if it is your will, that you will heal her. And Lord, we want to pray for all the saints that our dear Mother Harriet had asked for, saints that are still sleeping, not realizing, Lord, that they are going to be lost if they don't soon wake up. Time is so short. And we just pray that as other petitions continue to be requested, that you will answer those. We want to keep in prayer our friends in New York who are jailed. We ask, Lord, for their relief to be granted, for you to be vindicated in these efforts, and for them to be reunited with their families. And we pray for this ministry as we keep you as the chief director of it, that you would help us, Lord, in all of our efforts to be able to serve you faithfully and to be able to serve others faithfully as well. And may you bless every one of us, Lord, in accordance with the right portions that we need. For we thank you for being a God who hears and answers our petitions. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's time now for our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust you.